Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Good Thursday to you all. Andrew Coppins, Pat Oney alongside you here on Critical Thinking. It's a deep dive Thursday, and we're going to talk about respect for marriage. That's right, folks. The Respect for Marriage Act. We're going to talk about that and how insane this world has become. More importantly, we're going to dive into and try to steer you away from the hyperbole, the insanity of the rhetoric that has come from the right, that has come from the left. You know, Pat, I've seen people on my Facebook feed who are leftists who decided to tell us that the America is the greatest country in the world crowd.
Because of this?
In a world in which 37 senators decided to not vote for the Respect for Marriage Act, how could we deadass say that this is the greatest country in the world? And as I was reading that, I was also reading an article from the Wall Street Journal on Roger Bennett. And I don't know if you know this individual, Pat, but Roger Bennett is one of the hosts of Men in Two Blazers. Okay. And it's a very famous football, aka soccer podcast. It is two Englishmen who live here in the United States of America. They're really funny. They're super entertaining and they're super passionate about their various teams. Okay. Okay. And one of them attended the World Cup in Brazil, okay, in 2014, and said that if the United States got, or 2016, oh, no, it would have been 2014, had to have been. Yep, 2014. And he said if the United States gets out of its group, goes to the knockout stage, he will become a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. And this article goes into, well, guess what happens, right? The United States gets out of the group stage. He becomes, in 2018, a naturalized citizen of the United States of America. Took him 4 years to do that, but anywho, the United States gets out of the group stage.
Mm-hmm.
And this article talks to us about why somebody who is passionate about this sport, right, grew up in England. And knows nothing about America necessarily at the time that he's growing up. But it tells the story of why he loves this country so much that he gave up his citizenship in the country he grew up in. And it's all about why this is the greatest country on earth. I gave that article to this individual in the comment thread and just simply said, maybe this will give you some perspective from somebody who isn't from here. Maybe you'll gain some perspective as to why America might be the greatest country ever known to God's green earth. Do you think they got it? No. Instead, well, that's really a strange thing to get some perspective on. We're talking about marriage here. No. You said that we can't say that America is the greatest country on this earth because 37 senators decided to vote against something that you wanted to be voted in the affirmative. And until everybody agrees with you, this isn't the greatest country on earth. Here's some perspective of somebody who would largely agree with you because he's a leftist, but chose the United States of America. Why? Because he knew it to be the land of opportunity, the land of milk and honey, the land where everybody has an opportunity to make something of themselves, regardless of any shortcomings, any failures, any falters, whether you are black, white, Asian, Hispanic, blah, 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 blah. Regardless of sex, regardless of religion, regardless of this, regardless of that innumerable characteristic, right? You have the opportunity at success. Nowhere else in the world does this exist. Nowhere. Yes, I am including Western Europe. You want to talk about racism. You want to talk about classism. You want to talk about hierarchies in society. Live there once and tell me what happens. So my point with that is, we're, as we deep dive into the Respect for Marriage Act, we're dealing with a side who believes that, and I want this perspective real quick, Pat. We're dealing with one side who believes that unless you vote lockstep, everybody agrees on everything that you agree or that you like, this isn't a great country. No, the greatness of the United States of America is that we can vote our conscience, that we can be different and still live in the same land. That we have differing opinions, but we're supposed to respect those differing opinions. Now, one side versus the other here. The other side of the coin is, what about the religious aspect? And Pat, as we talk about this Respect for Marriage Act, there's only one religion, as far as I'm concerned, that's in the headlines here, and that is your church. So I'm going to put your church in the spotlight here, because the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints decided to come out in support of the Respect for Marriage Act. Not the Defense of Marriage Act, but the Respect for Marriage Act. Not the Respect for Civil Union Act, not the Respect for Government Recognized Union Act, but the Respect for Marriage Act. I think I have somewhat of an expert here on the inner workings, if you will, of the Mormon Church and what's going on there. So I'm going to let you take the reins on this topic.
Well, first of all, shout out to our friend Steve Dace, who actually brought this to my attention yesterday via Facebook. Yes. He put up a status of the LDS Church endorsed the Disrespect for Marriage and declared lawfare upon the Church Act yesterday. From marriage's celestial union to Paul is wrong, there is no marriage in heaven to you do you. So,
and what does he mean by that, first of all? What is Steve talking about?
So I'm going to explain that in just a second.
Okay.
So that drew my attention, well, what's going on? I didn't just take his word for it. I started digging. I'm like, okay, what did the church actually do? What did they actually say? Mm-hmm. And then what is the actual doctrine of the church when it comes to marriage? Mm-hmm. And so what Steve is getting at there is that marriage, family, is a core tenet of the LDS faith. He ain't wrong. A celestial marriage is at part of the core of our faith.
Right. Let's start there. What is a celestial marriage?
So a celestial marriage is essentially a temple marriage. Okay. And so we have, I don't know if you've seen this. I believe there's a temple in Chicago. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure there's one there, but there's temples all over the world. Okay. Within these temples, we perform sacred ordinances that are either for the dead or in some occasionally for the living. And so like in there, you can actually get married. It's really not all that insanely different from a marriage in any other place. It's just a little different and it's just sacred. Okay.
In that it lasts
for eternity
here on earth.
Right.
But it's also in heaven.
It is an eternal marriage. There is no till death do you part.
And so that is, I wanted to bring that up because this is a term that doesn't exist in Christianity outside of the Mormon church.
No, it doesn't. At least not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. It is a core tenet of the Mormon church, correct?
Yes, it is. I mean, this is about
what we call. And that's what makes it different.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is part of what we call of God's plan of salvation or God's plan of happiness, and that families are forever. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That you are my children will be my children forever. My wife will be my wife forever. Like it's just that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you do your vows, Pat, traditional Mormon vows in a wedding, is it till death do you part?
No. There is no till death do you part.
I just wanted people to understand what we're talking about in defining our terms as we deep dive into this, because it's important when we talk about a celestial marriage, it's important to understand the differences that exist and why this is important within the Mormon faith, and more importantly, why it's important to talk about this from the perspective of how the hell do you defend the Respect for Marriage Act or endorse this act when you talk about a celestial marriage?
Well, if I may, we have something called the Family Proclamation or the Proclamation of the World. I want to read just a paragraph from that, because what this does, it really defines how we look at family and how we look at marriage. Mm-hmm. So it says, the family is ordained of God. Marriage between man and women is essential to his eternal plan. Children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and are reared by a father and a mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity. Happiness in the family is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and protection for their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In the sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Disability, death, and circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. Extended families should lend support when needed. So it kind of, in the very beginning of that paragraph, it gives you a very clear definition of where we stand on marriage. It's supposed to be between a man and a woman, meant to procreate. You know, the first great commandment that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden is, you know, multiply and replenish the earth. Okay? That is still something that is at the core of our faith, is to multiply and replenish the earth. Get married. So, when it comes to this Respect for Marriage Act, the church released this statement yesterday. The doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints related to marriage between a man and a woman is well known and will remain unchanged. We are grateful and continuing efforts of those who work to ensure the Respect for Marriage Act includes appropriate religious freedom protections while respecting the law and preserving the rights of the LGBTQ brothers and sisters, the church said in a statement. We believe that this approach is the way forward as we work together to preserve the principles and practices of religious freedom together with the LGBTQ individuals. Much can be accomplished to heal relationships and foster greater understanding. Andrew Coppins, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, can you read that first part of that first sentence for me?
Oh, yeah. The doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints related to marriage between a man and a woman is well known and will remain unchanged.
The rest of the statement is an absolute abomination to the first part of that statement.
It's completely backwards.
What are you talking about, Willis?
So I asked my wife about this yesterday, you know, just to see kind of like, well, they're just saying that.
What's a wife,
know, that
they, Pat? What's a husband?
Yeah. What's a wife? What's a woman at this point? You know, she's like, well, maybe they're just, you know, trying to say like, hey, if you want to get married, we're not going to stand in your way. But I'm like, what about religious liberty? Are there any protections for that? And so then I started getting into the bill and other things, which we'll get to here in a few minutes, but This is about compromise. Now, Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, is when you compromise is essentially another way of saying give and take, right?
Potentially, yes.
Mm-hmm. But right, at least in part.
Right, the vast majority of the definition would be that you are both coming to meet in the middle, and therefore you are giving something to get something.
So my question is this, because this is very contradictory to the definition that I just defined a few minutes ago, okay? This is contradictory, because 10 years ago, I mean, the church was big supporters of things like Prop 8 in California, and you know, keeping same-sex marriage, you know, not legal across state lines and things like that. Like they were all for these things. What changed in the last 10 to 15 years, first of all? My next question is, what exactly are you getting out of this? What are you compromising on? Or are you just compromising your very principles and values? Because to me, as someone who is LDS, and if there's someone in church leadership that listens to this program that wants to come on and correct me and have a conversation about this, please do. Please do. I would love to understand this. But as someone that is part of this faith that understands the proclamation of the family, that understands this is where the church has been forever, what changed? And what did you compromise by endorsing this act? I can't answer that question. I can't. I've been trying to critically think through this and say, okay, well, let's maybe give the church the benefit of the doubt, which I'm still willing to do. But on paper, on its face, this looks very compromising of the church, not compromising on legislation.
Now, I'm going to contrast this statement that came out yesterday from the LDS Church with the statement that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops came out with in July of this year. As chairman of the Committee on Laity, Marriage, Family Life, and Youth for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, I am writing on the committee's behalf to express our concerns about H.R. 8404, the Respect for Marriage Act. I urge you to oppose this bill should it be considered for a vote in the Senate. It is not lost on us that the bill comes in an apparent response to the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, which returned to the people the right to protect preborn children and their mothers from abortion. It is unfortunate that Congress has not responded with a meaningful effort to help women in need with unexpected or difficult pregnancies. Rather, it is advancing an unnecessary bill to create a statutory right to same-sex civil marriage, which some claim is threatened by Dobbs, even though the Supreme Court's majority was explicit in its Dobbs holding that the decision had no bearing on the issue. There is also a question as to whether H.R. 8404 would grant federal recognition to civil marriages of more than two people performed in any state that would allow for them. People who experience same-sex attraction should be treated with the same respect and compassion as anyone on account for their human dignity and never be subject to unjust discrimination. It was never discrimination, however, to simply maintain that an inherent aspect of the definition of marriage itself is the complementary between the two sexes. Marriage as a lifelong exclusive union of one man and one woman and open to new life is not just a religious ideal. It is, on the whole, what is best for society in a concrete sense, especially for children. The health and socioeconomic benefits of stable family life with a mother and a father are well established, as are the positive outcomes for children raised in such a home. This corresponds with Pope Francis's recognizing children's right to a mother and a father, echoing this and responding to the Supreme Court's Obergefell versus Hodges decision in 2015. The USCCB president at the time, Archbishop Joseph Kurtz, observed, quote, "The law has a duty to support every child's basic right to be raised, where possible, by his or her married mother and father in a stable home. Same-sex civil marriage has a further diminishing, Same-sex civil marriage has further diminished the fulfillment of that right, both directly and indirectly, as it further disassociates marriage and sexual actions from the responsibilities of childbearing. This, in turn, reinforces existing negative phenomena in our society that have already done so much damage, such as fatherlessness. Advocates for marriage redefinition claimed that it was a matter of live and let live. Yet governments continue to use marriage redefinition laws to threaten the conscience and religious freedom of individuals such as wedding vendors and entities such as foster care and other social service providers who seek to serve their communities without being punished for their longstanding and well-founded beliefs. This bill will lend weight to those efforts and further marginalize millions of quote-unquote reasonable and sincere people. The quote-unquote Respect for Marriage Act would do the opposite of what its name implies, codifying a demand for states and the federal government to honor whatever may be deemed marriage by any other state. The concern that the bill could require federal recognition of marriages of more than two persons is not far-fetched, as at least three cities in Massachusetts have already legally enshrined so-called polyamorous domestic partnerships. By making federal recognition of such relationships automatic upon their recognition by any state, the bill would create a massive incentive for radical activists to concentrate their efforts in a single state, further leading plausibility to, or further lending plausibility to this potentially disastrous scenario. For all of these reasons, I must urge you to vote no on this measure. Thank you for the opportunity to articulate our concerns in light of the teachings of the Catholic Church and the considerations for the common good. I pray for you as we all work together towards a more just society where families are well supported and empowered to welcome all children." Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit here because you notice that they talked about how in the Dobbs decision, the disappointing fact of this is that the government hasn't bothered to support those who are already taking the steps and efforts to support those mothers who are underprivileged, if you will, right?
Which you think they would have, but they didn't.
Now, this is getting misconstrued in two ways. Number one, the Catholic Church isn't saying that the government must provide money. That's not what they're saying. Because Catholic charities and other charities, other Christian charities, are going out of their way to create foster homes, to create places of responsibility and job training, all sorts of different things. They're providing these things out of Catholic charity. They're not asking for a dime from the federal government for this. They are asking the federal government basically to get the hell out of their way, right? That's what they're asking for and hoping for in the wake of the Dobbs decision. Instead, they go down this route. But I give you this statement from the United States Conference on Catholic Bishops to contrast that to the statement that just came out. Now, you might say, well, that was July. There's been an amendment, right? Well, first of all, I want to read the text, Pat. Before I go into this, though, Pat, do you have anything else to say as we look at our two faiths in their, like, literally diametrically opposed statements on this bill?
No, I'm gonna save this statement for the end. But I do believe that, just to reiterate this, if this is about compromise, what are we compromising? Are we compromising ourselves, or are we compromising on something here? Like, what are we getting out of right. this? That's my question.
And I'm going to get into the potential answer to that question in just a moment, okay? So here's the actual bill, okay? There are five sections to the bill. This was received in the Senate July 20th. Read a second time on July 21st of this year. Okay. It just was voted on right now after the election. Now, it says here, an act to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act and ensure respect for state regulation of marriage and for other purposes. Be it enacted by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Section one, short title. This act may be cited as the Respect for Marriage Act. Okay, Section 2, repeal a section added to Title 28 United States Code by Section 2 of the Defense of Marriage Act. Section 1738C of the title of Title 28 United States Code is repealed. Basically, it is saying that they're repealing the definition of marriage as man and women. Okay, the Defense of Marriage Act is now gone, basically. Section 3, full faith and credit given to marriage equality. Chapter 1.15 of Title 28 United States Code, as amended by this act, is further amended by inserting after Section 1738B the following: certain acts, records, and proceedings, and the effect thereof. A. In general, no person acting under such color of state law may deny full faith and credit to any public act, record, or judicial proceeding of any other state pertaining to a marriage between two individuals on the basis of the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals. Or, subsection 2, a right or claim arising from such a marriage on the basis that such marriage would not be recognized under the law of that state on the basis of the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals. Now, there's a subsection B on here, enforcement by the Attorney General. The Attorney General may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against any person who violates subsection A for declaratory and injunctive relief. Now, notice how they didn't say that this was a thing that they were going to go after the state for not recognizing. They're going to go after the individual here, okay? Keep that in mind. May bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Courts against any person. This isn't an entity. This is a person, okay? Subsection B, or C, excuse me, private right of action. Any person who is harmed by the violation of subsection A may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against that person who violated such subsection for declaratory and injunctive relief. And D, state defined. In this section, the term state has the meaning given such term under Section 7 of Title 1. Basically, it's just the definition of the state of Wisconsin or the state of Illinois, blah, 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 blah. Section 4 is marriage recognition. Section 7 of Title 1 United States Code is amended to read as follows: marriage. For the purposes of any federal law, rule, or regulation in which marital status is a factor, an individual shall be considered married if that individual's marriage is valid in the state where the marriage was entered into, or in the case of a marriage entered into outside any state, if the marriage is valid in the place where entered into, and the marriage could have been entered into in a state. So if I wanted to go, let's say, to Vanuatu and they recognize like seven people can be married and three of them are dudes that are married to dudes, but then there's four women who are also married to all three of the dudes, blah, 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 right? Just using that as an example, right? If that marriage would be valid and a state allows for polygamy, there you go. But that violates the other part of this, right? Because it says here, full faith and credit to any public act, record, or judicial proceeding of any other state pertaining to a marriage between two individuals. What? So these are contradictory terms in the act, Pat. But we continue because there's a subsection B in here. In this section, the term state means a state, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, or any other territory or possession of the United States. And C, for purposes of subsection A in determining whether a marriage is valid in a state or the place where it entered into, if outside of any state, only the law of the jurisdiction applicable at the time the marriage was entered into may be considered. So if, like, for instance, Massachusetts decides tomorrow that polygamy is golden for them, right? And you've already been in a polygamous marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that doesn't work. You don't get grandfathered in. And then there's severability on section 5. If any provision of this act or any amendment made by this act or the application of such provision to any person, entity, government, or circumstance is held to be unconstitutional, the remainder of this act or any amendment made thereby or the application of such provision to all other persons, entities, governments, or circumstances shall not be affected thereby. Passed to the House of Representatives on July 19th, 2022.
To be clear, we just read the entirety of the bill, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, and I'm being partly facetious here. How many representatives and senators do you think took the time to actually understand what's in this bill?
Probably next to none of them.
Right. Well, see, Mike Lee did. And Mike Lee voted against this. And by the way, Mike Lee is of what faith again? Oh, right. He's LDS.
But so is Mitt Romney.
Right. But my point is you would think, would think that the church would be like, okay, like, well, what are representatives in Congress now, have to say about this?
Now, Pat, the LDS church has said to us, right, that they believe that there was religious protection. Now, in the original bill as passed, do you see any amendments in here, Pat?
No. Okay. That's
where
I was going.
Do you see anywhere where religion is protected?
No. No, you don't. I don't. Mm-hmm. And Mike Lee said as much in his statement yesterday. Now,
there was a bill or an amendment to the bill, right?
Right.
Tammy Baldwin, Susan Collins, and Tom Tillis decided to throw an amendment in there to hopefully assuage any issues with the religious right, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And why would the religious, why would people of faith, I guess, be scared of the quote unquote Respect for Marriage Act? Why? Here's why, Pat. Bake a cake, bigot.
Exactly.
Masterpiece Cake Theater, the Masterpiece, it's the Masterpiece Cake case, right?
Yeah, the Colorado Baker.
It's James, what is it?
The Colorado Baker?
Yeah, is it James or Jim Phillips? I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now, but he's still fighting, by the way, I believe, the second version of this. But it's not just him. We've seen it in Oregon. We've seen it elsewhere where they set up these test cases, if you will, right?
Right.
They're doing these things not to protect people's beliefs on both sides of the equation here. That's not what this is doing. This is saying that your state must recognize this. Your institution must recognize this. Again, I'm going to go back to the actual letter of the law here. In full faith and credit to any public act, record, or judicial proceeding of any other state pertaining to the marriage, on the basis of sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals, or a right or claim arising from such a marriage, right?
Mm.
The Attorney General may bring a civil action in the appropriate United States District Court against any person who violates that subsection A. No person acting under color of state law may deny. Now, I ask you this, Pat. Does that priest, does your pastor, right? Or elder, or I don't know the actual terminology. Is it a pastor?
I mean, you could essentially call them. I mean, I refer to him as a bishop.
Okay, so a bishop. So, anybody who would be, they have to hold what? Not just a license from within the church, right? Like that. Like if you're a priest, right, you hold priestly responsibilities, and amongst them, I would argue probably the second or third most important amongst them is the marriage, the ability to perform a marriage. But what else do you have to have? A license I'm not sure from the state.
Right. Okay.
So for those who say, well, this is just talking about the state, you are correct. They are talking about the state. Okay, so then let's sever the two, right? If I want to get married inside the church, right?
Right.
If I want to do those things, if I want to recognize this marriage is this way, right? What business does the federal government, the local government, the state government have in whom is marrying us? What business do they have? I got a question for you. The answer is none.
None.
Give me a good reason. Give me a reason.
This is to say, and to be very clear on this too, to your point, you know, I'm not against someone who is of same sex orientation getting married.
I want to get into that in a different part of this, okay, Pat?
Okay.
Because. That's not what I'm talking about here, and that's not what is important here. What is important here is people understand what is actually in this bill. The bill says any public act, record, or judicial proceeding. What is a public act? Your marriage. That's a public act. How? You sign a piece of paper. You have to go before the registrar or the clerk of the court, right? And get a marriage license, right?
To which my question is, why?
And this has been my argument forever. This has been my argument for at least 15 years, Pat, as I looked at the potential for me to get married and what marriage meant. What business does the state have in any of that? The only thing that it can claim to have any sort of potential is the financial and familial legalities, right? In so much as, okay, so if you get a divorce, right, how do we legally enforce that? How do we legally do the custody of children and all of those things? Okay, but could you do that in recognition that there is a piece of paper that says I'm married? From the church? Yeah, from anywhere
why
else?
Why not?
What does
why
the
not?
Government have any? Oh, it's because taxation is theft. Right. It's there. Right. It all boils down to that. So when I look at this, we can talk about the definition of marriage in a separate category here. Let's talk about this bill. So in this bill, right, full faith and credit to any public act, record, or judicial proceeding of any other state pertaining to a marriage between two individuals on the basis of the sex, race, ethnicity, or national origin of those individuals. Notice how they've also tried to slip the interracial marriage component into this, right? And that's the cudgel they're really going to use, right? Oh, you're against... No. Literally... Every state has repealed bans on that. Why? Because it's never held up in court. And more importantly, So you're doubling down on something that's already against the law. You can't discriminate based upon somebody's race to get married. That's not a thing.
Right.
And to the point of the U.S. CCB here, Pat, what is to stop somebody from just taking like a state like Vermont, right? Based off of this law, a state like Vermont or Oregon or Washington or California that is wholly run by the far, far, far left. What is to stop them from forcing everybody else to have to recognize whatever the hell they decide? So I brought this up on Twitter yesterday, right? This is a great example for me. If I were to be of the far left, what is one of the areas in which the far left has gone the farthest on? Like farthest depths of the left? You can't call somebody a pedophile anymore, right? They're just a minor attracted person.
Right.
Love is love, right? Marriage is marriage. What if I'm 59 and I'm attracted to 12-year-old girls, right?
Right.
Somebody, one of my friends, Yesh, anyway, on Twitter yesterday, I put that out. What's to stop that from happening? If a state recognizes that, there's nothing that says here a marriage between two consenting adults. It says two individuals. There's nothing that says two consenting adults. Now, mind you, we have always said that there is a limit, right? The states limit when you can consent for yourself to a marriage. But let's say you're 59 and that person is 12 and your parents consent to that marriage. Because your parents happen to have one person who's a MAP, quote unquote. The state of Vermont, the state of California, the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, right? Let's just say they decide that that's what they want to do. This says by full force of the government, you in Utah, you in Illinois, you in Wisconsin, you in Alabama, you in Timbuktu, Texas, must recognize it. What's to stop them from doing that going forward? Well, that's we're just talking about consenting adults. Are we?
Are we?
We were just talking about the definition of marriage for being between a man and a woman for procreation, and marriage and civil unions being different. And we're not talking about forcing those of religious belief to perform. Oh, you're not? You've tried it over the last 10 years. You've tried it in court, and the court has luckily struck it down every single time so far. What's to stop it? There's nothing in this bill that does that. Now, you would say to yourself, okay, but Baldwin, Collins, and Tillis, that amendment, right? It's it'll fix the religious issues that exist with this original bill.
Oh yes, because you know you can trust Susan Collins and Tom Tillis and I can't remember her name, Baldwin.
So as I look at the bill, right, I've given a few ideas to you of what I believe is wrong with this bill. But I also look at it from this perspective. There are probably about four, if not five, things that I have a problem with that probably need to be dealt with. Number one, it creates a private right of action, right? A private right of action that supercharges attacks on people and organizations that still believe in natural marriage. Think about the Masterpiece Cake case.
Right.
They did it once. They got smacked the hell down for discrimination and harassment, by the way, and then redid it again with a gender reveal cake. He is now fighting that. It tacitly vilifies millions of Americans who still believe in natural marriage by labeling that belief as sex discrimination. Tantamount to racism, right? This is that's the point of what they're doing here. It will subject business owners to even more costly litigation, and it threatens the tax-exempt status of faith-based nonprofits. And this has been the biggest go-to of the left. They have gone hard after Catholic Charities, after the Little Sisters of the Poor case, right?
Yep.
You're the Little Sisters of the Poor, who are, wait for this, celibate nuns. Again, celibate nuns have to pay for a board of fancets. How does that make any sense? And we could go down the road of healthcare in this country and how people's health insurance is put together is absolutely insane. I'm paying for shit I would never, ever be able to use, while other people aren't paying for my shit that I would use. Now, the Baldwin, as the Family Research Council put out, the Baldwin-Collin-Tillis Substitute Amendment is supposed to provide for religious exemptions and religious protection within the Respect for Marriage Act, right?
Uh-huh.
But it actually provides absolutely no meaningful, affirmative, or enforceable shield of protection to those people, those entities that have already been attacked for their belief in natural marriage. A protection, by the way, that the Lee Amendment, yes, as in Mike Lee, put an amendment that got shot down, okay, would provide from federal discrimination. The so-called Respect for Marriage Act is all about setting up the federal government and the Department of Justice to be able to legally go after those who believe in actual natural marriage. One invites litigation. So in Section 6, okay, there's this new Section 6. This is the amendment, right?
Mm.
Section 6A affirms that no pre-existing religious liberty or conscience rights protected in the Constitution or federal law are abrogated, but every person and organization that is already being attacked already has those protections, right? We're supposed to have them. People and entities who retain their belief in natural marriage already face years of litigation, as we've talked about. In a few instances, those years of litigation led to some semblance of justice, but the cost of those lost years can never be fully recovered, as the Family Research Council points out. The children, families, and mothers who suffered when Philadelphia stopped contracting with Catholic Charities can't get those years back, and they didn't receive justice from the U.S. Supreme Court when foster parents won their lawsuit against the city. In some places, the loss was permanent. For example, Illinois kicked out Catholic Charities in 2011 and lost nearly 5,500 foster homes between 2012 and 2019. You think that has a negative effect on society, Pat? Hell yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Furthermore, stating that these protections still pertain may actually be harmful if seen as establishing the bad precedent that existing protections must be explicitly stated in future laws. Section 6B only protects these people or entities, quote, whose principal purpose is the study, practice, or advancement of religion, and only from being forced to solemnize or celebrate a marriage. So that's it. The only protection that actually exists physically in this amendment is you cannot be sued for saying, I'm not going to perform this act. If you refuse to participate in the act. So what, I got a question for you, Pat. If I get an invite to somebody that I know who's gay, right? And I get an invite to their ceremony. If I refuse to go to that ceremony, shouldn't they be able to sue me? That's bigotry. That's discrimination. How dare you not celebrate? They could, by the way, this Respect for Marriage Act notes, what is to stop them? They have the basis for that. Celebrate me now, you bigot, right? The First Amendment, as Family Research Council points out, arguably already provides that protection. The situations in which people and entities are being attacked are significantly broader than clergy and religious institutions in the context of performing marriage rites. Yeshiva University, I don't know if you've paid attention to this, right? A very Orthodox Jewish university is being forced by the state of New York to recognize student clubs with charters contrary to their expressed Jewish character and history, despite protections for religious corporations in New York law. So even when we have those things codified in state law, they're still being required. It does not protect adoption and foster agencies. And that's where they're really going here. Because adopt me now, you bigot, right? Even those who do, by the way, or should fall within the very narrow protections of Section 6B could still be sued and have to prove themselves, right? Proven guilty before innocent. That's what's happening here. You're going to have to prove yourself innocent. Now, you can talk about civil versus criminal. Yeah, in a civil lawsuit, by the way, you still have to prove that you have a standing, that you have a case to be brought against somebody else. You are supposed to have the burden of proof, not the other way around. Not the defendant has the burden of proof to prove that they didn't do what you claim they did. No, you have to prove that they did something to you. Section 7A of this amendment, by the way, is being touted as providing protections against loss of that tax exempt status, loss of eligibility for federal contracts, etc. But it is a mess and poorly crafted. Because rather than granting protections, the phrase not arising from a marriage raises questions that invite litigation. Section 7 falls woefully short of the needed protections. It applies only to federal tax and other government treatment and has no affirmative enforcement. For example, although the section may be intended as a protection against the removal of federal tax exempt status from faith-based nonprofits, it could actually be interpreted to mean that the bill does not change or otherwise strengthen a defense that arises out of beliefs in natural marriage. It ignores the fact that most adverse government action is currently taken at the state and local level, which will be supercharged by the bill's creation of a private right of action. Now, this is a great example of this. They go on to talk about the Catholic social services in Philadelphia. St. Vincent Catholic Charities, a religious adoption agency in Michigan, targeted for a lawsuit by a lesbian couple who passed by several other agencies, by the way, didn't go to the ones that have no religious viewpoints, right? They target these, right? Because of the agency's sincerely held religious beliefs. Catholic Charities of Omaha, the CEO of Lifeline, the largest evangelical adoption agency in the United States, urges strong opposition to the bill. Herbert Newell writes that, quote, practicing Christians are over twice as likely to adopt compared to the general population, with Catholics three times as likely, and evangelicals five times as likely. People of faith and faith-based agencies have a vital role in child protection, child welfare, and the flourishing of families. The Ocean Grove Camp Meeting Association, which is a Methodist congregation in New Jersey, ceased making a pavilion on church-owned property available for weddings after the New Jersey Division on Civil Rights held the church was required to host civil unions. This is where we're going. This is all about basically taking these things, putting it to the state level, the local level, right? Which I'm usually for. But here's the rub on this. You are giving federal carte blanche to these states, right? You are just saying whatever. Whatever you guys want to do, other people have to recognize by the force of the government, by the force of action of the federal government, you are going to do these things or else. The force of the federal government when it comes to interracial marriage, Pat, I we already have that on the books. It is illegal in every state to do that. And how did it happen, Pat? It happened by the pressure of the people of this country. It didn't happen by the force of government. And that's why we talk about political will versus law. We are not a nation of laws. We never will be. We've always been a nation of political will and always will be. That's something that we've talked about, that Steve Dace talks about, but that's the reality. Because even when we look all the way back to our founding, again, less than 30% of the people believed in revolution, believed in fighting the British, believed in breaking away from them. Less than 30%. And we kicked their ass eventually. If we just listened to the masses all the time, we wouldn't be here doing the things that we do. doesn't exist. I want you to think about this. To date, at least 8 states and localities have taken hostile action towards adoption and foster care agencies and foster families on the basis of sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions that marriage is between a man and a woman. State and local governments are already targeting faith-based organizations for their beliefs about marriage, according to the Family Research Council. In some cases, it does not even require an organization to deny services. Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia is a great example of this. Hostility toward faith-based adoption and foster care agencies has already had devastating effects. Massachusetts, like we talked about, right? It lost 2,000 foster families between 2014 and 2019, the 5,500 in Illinois. It does not protect wedding vendors, by the way. If you are a faith-based wedding vendor, right? If that's your niche, right? You believe sincerely in your own faith and your own faith says no. The state, the Washington State florist, Brunel Stutzman, who was sued by the state because she could not in good conscience make custom floral arrangements for her longtime customer's same-sex wedding. Think about this, right? A longtime customer. You had to have known their belief system at that point. You had to have known that, right? Still sued them and said, flower my wedding. She would eventually be forced to sell her business in order to avoid government confiscation of all of her personal assets. Now, I would argue she also set up her business very dumbly, very yes. stupidly.
Yes, but that's besides the point.
It's beside the point. What about Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, who were sued by the state, fined $135,000 for declining to bake a custom cake for a same-sex wedding. Not one that's available to everybody, but an actual customized cake. Jack Phillips, that's who we were talking about.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
The Masterpiece Cake case. It would not protect civil servants, by the way. Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who declined to sign a same-sex couple's marriage license required by state law, right? She was willing for her staff to sign the form, but she is still under attack and trying to defend her religious liberty rights. Dozens of magistrates in North Carolina, the attorney general, have forced to resign in 2014 for refusing to perform those same-sex weddings. One finally won that case in 2018 for $300,000, but it took her 4 years to do so. The substitute amendment wouldn't protect businesses like Donald Vanderboom, owner of the West Michigan Beef Company, was threatened with the closure of his business by the USDA because he had faith-based pamphlets in his break room. Think about that. Faith-based pamphlets. Didn't force you to look at it, didn't force you to pick it up, didn't force you to do anything. Steve Tennis, the owner of County Mill Farms in Michigan, excluded from the city farmers market because of his religious beliefs and views about marriage. When the city of East Lansing saw a social media post regarding natural marriage, it chose to exclude him, even though he serves and employs LGBT-identifying individuals. This is why this act is so dangerous. This gives the full force of government action. Bend the knee or else. That's what this is about. You bend the knee or else. And I talked about this with my wife, Pat. When we talk about bending the knee, when we talk about the definition of marriage, right? Notice it only goes one direction. And we kind of talked about this yesterday, right? With the Candace Cameron Bure situation.
Mm, yeah.
It's always a one-way street with the left. Recognize, bow down to allyship with my viewpoint or pay the price, right? It's bow down, kneel before Zod, or whatever the hell you want to put it as. It only goes one direction. You have to recognize my individuality, right? My spirituality, my belief system. Recognize my gender ideology, right? My sexual ideology, my queer theory. Recognize it now, you bigot. Never goes the other direction. Well, what about my religious belief system? It's never a two-way street, right? It is a dead-end, one-way cul-de-sac in which you get to just turn around and continue to have to do what they want you to do. That tolerance, that belief, right? That only turns one way. That's why this is dangerous.
because this codifies that this is an absolute 1000% attack on not just religious belief systems. This is an attack on civil society and sociological truth. Because if we are to believe this, right? If we are to believe in this system, these are diametrically opposed ideas of what a union is. And I'm not going to use the term marriage, because marriage has both sociological and religious undertones. And if you sit there with a dead-ass straight face and tell me that your ability to marry a dude, or if you're a girl, to marry another girl, is the same as me marrying a woman or a woman marrying a man, you don't get what a marriage is, and you sure as hell shouldn't be able to call it one. Why? Because you fundamentally do not have the ability to do what is good, right, and just. Now, not every marriage can produce a child. Not every marriage. But the ability to actually attempt at procreation exists. Well, I could still get pregnant if I'm a woman. Yeah, but not within that union that you have, right?
Right.
Not
within the confines of that.
And what is best served by society, right? This isn't just a matter of religion. This is a matter of human existence. The ability to attempt at actual procreation. You just deciding to go to some sperm bank and implant an egg is not the same as a natural marriage. It ain't. No. It ain't the same as a natural birth. Doesn't mean that there are people who shouldn't go through, or people who are in positions that have issues naturally. Now, my church says that IVF is wrong. Other churches don't. But that's because the Catholic Church looks at natural marriage as natural marriage, and part of natural marriage is natural procreation, and if you can't have kids, that's okay. You can still adopt. You can still do other things. But trying to enforce or force artificial means of that pregnancy is wrong in the eyes of the church. Now, there are many millions of Catholics who do that all the time, and they don't necessarily agree with that teaching of the church. But that's not to suggest that I would sit here and say, but Pat, you are an absolute abomination to God if you dared to try something that wasn't natural because there might be issues, right? If those even existed. Right. I'm not going to pretend to know one way or the other. But I'm using this as the example, right? I'm not going to sit here and do that. I'm not going to. No, my church happens to believe that the natural way is the natural way. And if God is not going to allow you to have children inside that marriage, there are other ways to fulfill that, through adoption, through foster care, through all sorts of different ways. It's just, I can't stand the fact that it's always a one-way street. And for us, it's, well, we have to be opening and loving and blah, 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 blah. We have to accommodate. We are the ones that are compromised all the time. Where is their compromise? To your point, Pat, I've just gone through the amendment here. And the amendment is two sections, sections six and seven. Where's the compromise?
Where are they? Yeah.
The compromise should be this. Okay. We're going to allow for states and local governments to be able to do this, but you leave us alone.
It's that simple. It is literally that simple. And so it brings me back to going full circle now. When the LDS Church endorsed this yesterday, what are you getting out of it? Or are you just compromising your own principles and values?
Absolutely. Now, Pat, we've gone an hour on this subject alone. Do you want to play a little bit of the B or not the B before we end the game? Before we end the show, I should say.
Oh, yes. I think I need it.
All right. So today on the Bee or Not the Bee, the headline is Chuck Schumer says Americans are not having enough babies, so we need to give amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants to make up the difference. Chuck Schumer says Americans are not having enough babies, so we need to give amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants to make up the difference. Is this the Bee or Not the Bee? While you're thinking about that, folks, please, please visit our fine sponsors at coffeebrandcoffee.com. Look, we've talked about this in the past, right? We've talked about the idea and the concept of we need to support businesses that don't insult us. And guess what? Not every business has to believe in everything that we believe in. Not every business has to be libertarian or conservative for us to do business with them. That's not the case at all. How about we just do businesses, hear me out on this, Pat, that, I don't know, make really good products and don't give a rip about your politics or their politics. What a novel concept. With that being said, please visit our friends at coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout for 5% off your purchase. Again, coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout. Pat, do you need the headline one more time, or do you know if this is the bee or not the bee?
This is not the bee.
Are you sure?
Why? That is a not the bee headline all over.
Yeah, you are correct. It is a not the bee headline. That's right. Chuck Schumer believes, you know what, illegal immigration. Uh-huh. We have, quote, we have a population that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. Might that part and parcel be to, I don't know, radical gender ideology that suggests marriage needs to be redefined, and we're not promoting the family in any way, shape, or form anymore as a societal good. And family is whatever the hell you want it to be.
No. It certainly looks that way.
Now, you can treat people like their family, right? All you want. I have friends that I've known for 32 years. I consider them part and parcel to my family, as close to me as whatever. But they're not actual family, right?
Right.
They have their own family. We have a population, quote, that is not reproducing on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future is if we welcome immigrants, get a path to citizenship for all 11 illegal immigrants. I mean, you know, he could just go ahead and suggest that people, I don't know, get married, start having more babies, stop having abortions. You know, standard stuff humans have been doing for thousands of years. Seems like that may make more sense from a national interest perspective. In whether you have the religious belief system that suggests men and women, right? The greatest argument for the quote-unquote defense of natural marriage is this. Is there not a national interest in procreative marriage, the potential for procreative marriage? Hell yes, there is. And there has been literally since the start of humanity.
That's how humanity survives. Right?
Well, it used to be. Now it's just man, bear, pig, and immortality, you see, because if my 80-year-old lungs are giving out, I can just go to the pig that I bought when I was 10 and just use the lungs that have been sitting in there.
Or you could just go kill Kenny.
You bastard. And with that, Pat, your final thoughts on today's show.
Well, as I'm giving my final, I just want to clear up one thing. For me, this is not an argument about if you want to get married and you're a same-sex couple, have at it, Hoss. I don't care one way or the other. I do care when you start going after my belief system. That's the issue here.
So I hear a little bit of live and let live in there, and I can't do it. And here's why. Because you think that your marriage is equal to mine, and it ain't.
It's not. I would agree.
It never can be, and it never will be, simply because your marriage is not a marriage. Your union is a union.
Sure, sure. I mean, you're right. In my personal belief, you're right. I do not hold it at the same standard, and it, in my view, it is not a marriage.
Can I celebrate the fact that you love whom you love?
Sure. Go for it. Have at it.
Don't expect in the same breath for me to, it's the same concept of, can I love the sinner but not the sin?
Right.
Hell yes.
Yes, you can.
Because we are all sinners. But that sinner over there in this argument won't recognize my ability to be a sinner and still oppose their sin. I don't have to sit here and say, you know what, whatever the hell you want to do. No, I don't. No, I don't. Just like you don't have to do that to me. But respect is a two-way street, and until that side of the aisle has the same respect for me as I'm supposed to have for them, homie, don't play that game.
Right.
With that, Pat, your final thoughts.
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And on this 17th day of Andrew's birth month, I'm going to give you a choice, Andrew. Because I know you are a How I Met Your Mother fan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you the choice. 10 slaps right now or 5 slaps that could happen at any point, at any given time by me over the course of eternity.
I'm going to go with the 5 slaps over the course of eternity.
Okay. Fair enough.
Please be safe. Be smart. Be kind. Make sure you eat all your meals today. And as always, Matthew 5:47. Oh, and by the way, folks, your weekly reminder, because I'm going to do this for the first month, that this is part of my shtick. This has to deal with a Comcast representative who we've been on the phone with like 2 weeks ago now for over an hour, our third different Comcast rep, 11 o'clock at night, dealing with an issue that snowballed for the next 3 days, by the way, but decided to make small talk with us as the reboot of the system was happening for the fifth time that night. And decided to ask us if we had eaten all of our meals that day. What? In the pantheon, in the cadre, in the Rolodex of small talk terms and questions that you could ask as a customer service rep, where in the hell does that exist in the manual? My God. Holy crap. And thank you for giving me that piece of comedy gold. I seriously cannot stop laughing at that. And it is 2 weeks later. Did you eat all your meals today? And with that, have yourselves a great rest of your day. Matthew 5:47.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.